Well, good morning. It is really good to be with y'all, and it is good to have another chance to come back and look at God's Word, to mine out and to treasure up and to stand upon and to know God through these promises that we've been looking at. This is our next to last time of looking at God's promises. So we have this one and one more, and then we'll have a whole bunch of promises in our hands. Just to remind you where we've been so far this week, we saw that from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that you are not just some random accident in the world, that you have God's fingerprints all over you, that you are His masterpiece of grace, that He has worked you, He's fashioned you, He's shaping, He's molding you into something beautiful, that He's called you into existence for glory and for beauty and for purpose. And we saw that He hasn't just started that project, but He's also the one who brings us finishing grace, completing grace, right? From Philippians 1, verse 6, that reminds us that He who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. He doesn't get disinterested. He doesn't get distracted. He doesn't leave off because He's displeased with us, but He finishes what He starts. And yesterday we saw from Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, that if you are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, the way things are supposed to be, the way things that God created them to be, He makes a very bold promise that you will be satisfied. And we also saw there that from John 6:35, that Jesus says, "I'm the bread of life. Whoever eats of me will never go hungry. Whoever eats of me will never thirst again." That we sit down at the banquet of God's free grace, His extravagant love, His limitless patience, His care, His provision for us. And we're supposed to feast upon that so we'll be filled and not be distracted by appetite suppressants and approximations and half measures. That He calls us to come and be filled with His grace. Well, this morning I want to bring us to two different verses, John chapter 14, verse 27, and Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, and to see that God gives us another precious promise of grace from His Word this morning. So let me read it out for us. This is from the lips of Jesus in John chapter 14. He says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul writes to this church, he says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I love reading this newspaper called The Onion. The Onion is, it pokes fun at us as humans. It kind of gets the human condition really well. It writes all these fake news stories. And sometimes they're kind of irreverent, maybe not for everyone in this room, but sometimes they're just spot on and they just make such a funny point and help us to see ourselves in a new light. And the one that caught my attention the other day was titled, "Local Woman Always Has a Backup Problem Just in Case." And this is the story. It says this, Dayton, Ohio. Local woman Jessica Hartley, age 26, confirmed Tuesday that she always has a backup problem just in case her initial predicament is resolved or no longer relevant to her life. And they quote her and they say, "Whether it's fretting about my career or the mess in my kitchen, I hate being caught off guard without anything to worry about. It's good to have a spare problem in your back pocket. I'll probably never have to use it, but it's comforting just to know that it's there." Says this, Hartley, who is currently apprehensive about paying off a credit card bill, said that she has a misshapen mole on her arm that needs to be checked out, and that should be a good secondary source of stress. What I love about that is that it makes fun of us that we always want to worry about something. We always have a backup problem just in case the one that we're currently worrying about gets resolved or is no longer relevant to our life. In other words, worry and stress and anxiety are just normal for us. They're typical. It's ordinary. It's the way we live. It's a way of life for us. And it's sort of a strange comfort of always knowing there's something else to worry about. It's so normal that we just kind of get used to it. Sometimes it feels good to be sad and lonely. Sometimes it feels good to have something, some drama to work out in your life. Well, here's the deal. Worry makes a very valid point about the world. It gets something right. It observes correctly something. What it observes correctly is that this world is really broken. The things fall apart. The things are bent and twisted and don't work right. That we are not as whole and as beautiful and as joyful and as at peace as we should be. And sometimes we bring it on ourselves, right? Sometimes we do things that are foolish and disobedient and we reap the consequences of all those things. But sometimes Just living in a broken world, those things show up on our doorstep, uninvited, unannounced, and always an inconvenience to us. We're not living the fullness that we were designed to know. We're not having the peace, the shalom that God wants us to have. That wholeness, that flourishing, that delight. And for some of us, we know that very personally. We are radically not at peace with ourselves. We're not comfortable in our own skin. We don't like the way we look. We don't like the way our body is shaped. We don't like the way we talk. We don't like anything about ourselves. And we feel so out of comfort, so not at peace with ourselves. Sometimes we feel shamed because of things we've said or things we left unsaid. And we just feel not at peace with ourselves. And sometimes we just feel that lack of peace with relationships with other people. We compete with people who we think are more beautiful or more capable or more worthy of attention. And we feel so belittled and so beaten down by conflict and drama and lack of forgiveness in relationships. And some of us feel that very radical lack of peace with God. We wonder if we're accepted. We wonder if we've done enough. Or we wonder if he's trustworthy. We wonder if he's going to keep his promises. Why do all these horrible things come into our lives, we say. I love what St. Augustine says. I think he's got it exactly right. He says, "O God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." He gets it right. There's always something to worry about. There's always another problem. There's always a lack of peace that makes us restless and yearning for fullness and wholeness and flourishing and delight. There's always something else to freak out about. Well, what is God's promise for restless, anxious, troubled, freaked out, and about to freak out people? It comes to us there from John 14:27. He says, "I'm going to give you a gracious gift of peace." He says, "My peace I give to you." Not just any sort of peace, but his peace, the peace that he enjoys, the peace that he models for us. And he says that peace is not a reward. It's not something you've earned. It's not something you've measured up to. It is something simply that I give to you. It's a gift of grace. It's peace. And I love that he says it's not as the world gives. How does the world give peace? It says you get lovely, you get pretty, you get strong, you get tough, you work hard, you get an advantage and you capitalize on it, and then you might know some sort of whiff of peace, some sort of passing, fleeting moment of peace. It says pad your life with all the cute clothes and all the nice wardrobe you can find. Get beauty, get style, get creative. It says get wealth, get possessions, get stuff. Pad your life with your wardrobe and your wealth. It says get options. Never commit to anything. Always be free. Forget responsibilities. The only responsibility you have is to your own freedom and your own sense of peace. Get the right friends. Get the right network of friends. Meet the right people. Have the right experiences, then you'll know peace. But you never know peace through that, because you're always trying to maintain the look, always trying to recover the beauty, always trying to make sure the possessions don't break or don't get lost, or you lose some sort of favor with other people. And so the gospel of peace that Jesus gives us, that gracious gift of peace, says, "I'm going to give you peace with yourself, because your identity is not in how you look or what you do or what you haven't done. Your identity is what I say about you and who I've made you to be." And he says, "I'm going to give you the gracious gift of peace with other people, because you don't have to compete and you don't have to compare yourself to other people, because I've said the most true thing about you and I love you and accept you. So you don't have to get an advantage over people. You have every advantage in my eyes." And he says, "Here, I'm going to give you a gracious gift of peace with God that you don't have to worry anymore if he's trustworthy or if you're accepted, because his verdict, his declaration of your life is guaranteed and settled in heaven forever. None of your failures can ever overturn that divine verdict on your life." And so he says, "I give you a gift of peace. It's a result of trusting in Jesus, not something that is a reward of trusting in Jesus." But then Paul goes a little bit further. He says that peace that God gives us is not just a gracious gift, but it also is a guardian over our life. I love that. He says, "I'm not going to take you out of the world of noise, the world of demands, the world of trouble, the world of tragedy. I'm not going to give you a silver bullet to shoot at the world and it's going to relieve everything and make everything easy and make everything smooth sailing." He never promises a frictionless, easy, trouble-free, pain-free, charmed life. But he says, in the very middle of trouble, in the very middle of restlessness, in the very middle of anxiety, in the very middle of tragedy, in the very middle of discomfort, I'm going to give you a peace that really passes understanding because it doesn't make sense. If you look at those things, you should be terrified. But he says, no, in the midst of those things, I'm going to give you a peace that's going to protect you so that you no longer have to protect yourself. It's going to secure you so you don't have to be your own security system. What is God's promise for us all this morning? It is peace. My peace, not as the world gives, I give to you. And so you've got a choice this morning. You can treasure up all of your worries and keep them in your back pocket. And when one gets knocked down, you can pull out another one and just keep being consumed by all the worry and anxiety and restlessness. Or you can say, Lord, I'm so restless. Help me to find my rest in you. Lord, I'm so tired of being compared and competing. And I'm so tired of wondering if I'm accepted. I want to treasure up your peace that passes understanding and guards my mind and my heart forever in Christ Jesus. That's God's promise for you today. The gracious gift of peace that guards you and secures you and assures you. Let me pray for us as we finish up. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you don't just say, deal with it. You don't just tell us, yeah, it's a hard life. But you give us peace, not as the world gives. Not as something that we've earned or something we've got to secure, but as what you've earned, what you've secured for us. Lord, let that peace guard our heart and our minds in the midst of our trouble, in the midst of the tragedy, in the midst of all the restlessness we feel. Let it guard us. Help it to lift up our heads and quicken our step today. We pray it in your name. Amen.